It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. One of America's favorite storytellers is in Pittsburgh today. Daniel Handler, a.k.a. Lemony Snicket, or vice versa, is the guest speaker for the upcoming Pittsburgh Arts and Lectures Kids and Teen Series. But let's face it, Mr. Handler can count plenty of adults among the fans of his classic 13-part children's book collection, A Series of Unfortunate Events. He'll be presenting tonight at 7 at the Carnegie Library Lecture Hall in Oakland. Daniel Handler's newest work is Who Could That Be at This Hour, the first in a four-part series called All the Wrong Questions. The latest book in that series is Lemony Snicket, When Did You See Her Last? These are all part of a prequel to the Unfortunate Events books. And he joins us now in Studio A. Daniel Handler, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much. A pleasure to be here, sir.
And if you have a comment or question for Daniel Handler, we'll take some phone calls at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002.
It sounded for a moment like you were talking to me, like I was supposed to call in with a comment about myself.
You're welcome to do that. If you've got your cell phone,
I don't have a phone within reach, so I will just have to comment on myself here live on the air.
Well, for people
overrated, I say.
For people who aren't familiar with your work, first of all,
lucky devils, I say to them.
Who is Lemony
Go
Snicket?
Go on with your life, Pittsburghians who don't know anything of me.
Who is Lemony Snicket?
Lemony Snicket is a mysterious and shadowy figure who narrates a sequence of books for which I'm at least partially responsible. He narrated a sequence of books about terrible things happening to orphans over and over again. That was called A Series of Unfortunate Events. And now there's a series called All the Wrong Questions, which is about his own apprenticeship in a secret organization where he's sent to a dreary and gray town full of mysterious and sinister goings-on. Why would this appeal to citizens of Pittsburgh? I have no idea.
Well, I understand that you told an editor in 1997 that your idea for a children's book was, in fact, terrible things happening to orphans over and over again. What was her reaction to your suggestion?
She said it was a good idea, and I felt bad because I had arranged to meet her in a bar and tell her this idea because I knew it was terrible, and I thought, I will tell you this idea, and you will tell me it was terrible, and then at least we'll be in a bar so the whole thing won't be a complete waste. And instead, she said she liked it, which concerned me because I thought it meant that she was a lightweight. And then the next morning, she was going to have to call me and say, you know, as so many women have said to me, last night was nothing. I made a terrible mistake. And so instead, it turns out she's a Canadian. She's from Winnipegger. And she's from Winnipeg. She's a Winnipegger from Winnipeg.
And you like saying that.
And they drink like fish. And so she called the next morning and said, no, I still like it. And would you mind writing it down? She said to me the idea in a sequence of books. And I said, no, I think I would like to do that.
And so.
And here I am.
And here you are.
It comes to a culmination in Pittsburgh this evening.
Right.
At the Carnegie Library. Finally, all of the gears and levers, all of the breezes and gusts of wind are leading up to this moment.
The city of Pittsburgh has really cleaned up its image, but at one time it was referred to as hell with the lid off. Do you see?
I did not know that.
Do you see Pittsburgh?
I only know that as the name of a MC 900 Foot Jesus album.
That too.
Hell with the lid off.
Well, before that was Pittsburgh.
Shout out to all the MC 900 Foot Jesus fans in today's audience.
They are among our listeners.
I'm sure.
For sure.
They're right now saying, oh yeah. And they're going to go back and find that, shoebox full of cassettes. That's what era it was.
Well, at least it wasn't 8-tracks.
Yeah.
But the old pictures of Pittsburgh, I'm sure you've seen them with with the smoke billowing from the mill. So do you see Pittsburgh as a fortunate or unfortunate place to be?
Do I see it as a fortunate or unfortunate place to be?
Pittsburgh.
Well, I have only the position of an outsider, but it seems like a lovely city to me. But I also appreciate a bit of gloom in my own city. So I'm from San Francisco, which has a nice foggy oceanic gloom to it. And then there's Pittsburgh, which has the gloom of churning rivers and steel bridges and, kind of sinister industry. So I never thought of it as hell with the lid off. But it has always seemed a little bit like a gray and lonely town. But I mean that as a deep compliment. I guess it depends what you like.
Could this be the inspiration for a story at some point?
Well, it didn't hurt. My second novel for adults, actually, Watch Your Mouth, takes place partially in Pittsburgh and features a creature rising out of the murky river to attack some innocent people, more or less innocent.
images of Lemony Snicket show him as this shadowy character. He wears a fedora.
Yeah.
What inspired that image?
Well, when I first started writing a series of unfortunate events, I realized that the narrator was this kind of lonely man, and that I shrouded him in mystery because I thought that was more interesting. And then we had the idea of publishing the books under the name of the narrator rather than the name of the author, which I thought would just make everything more interesting. And so then I asked my friend Meredith, she would take some pictures, and I had an old hat, and it started to snow, and I ran around in the snow, and she took a bunch of pictures from the back. It was quite a delightful afternoon, actually. We did it until about 5 o'clock when the sun set, and then we had bourbon old fashions, and then we had the photographs delivered and developed, and they looked very lonely and stark and old-fashioned, and it seemed like people were interested in that.
Daniel Handler is our guest. He's the author of the Lemony Snicket books. If you'd like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002. We have Siobhan in Highland Park.
Well, hello, Siobhan in Highland Park. How's everything going?
Thank you. I am such a fan of Daniel's work, particularly a novel he wrote for young adults a few years ago called Why We Broke Up, which was a partnership with the artist Myra Kallman. And
yeah.
I was just wondering if Daniel could speak a little bit about how that idea came to be and his partnership with Myra writing and illustrating that book.
Well, Myra Kallman, who might be most familiar to listeners for many covers for the New Yorker magazine she's done, is a tremendous artist and author of children's books herself. And she and I met at a dinner party in Italy. How's that for glamour? And we had a lovely time and we decided to work together. And we first wrote a picture book together called 13 Words, in which I wrote the words and she did the paintings. And we had such a lovely time that I said to her, Myra, I said, would you like to do another book? And she said, sure. And I said, well, this time, instead of I just write it first and you illustrate it, why don't you tell me what you want to paint? And what she wanted to paint were tiny little ordinary objects. We went to her studio and she said, I want to paint these paper clips. I want to paint this crumpled up piece of paper. These very ordinary objects, and I began to think about what sort of story would tie together a bunch of ordinary objects that I knew once Myra was through painting them would look really luminous and beautiful. And then I just began to think about romantic memory, and Why We Broke Up is a novel in which a girl has kept all of the souvenirs from a relationship with a young man, and she's returning them to him with a long letter of explanation. So she goes through the relationship through all the objects that she saved. And I'm glad that that book has found readers in the Pittsburgh area. Myra and I had a delightful time.
Thanks, Siobhan, for the call and the question. 412-246-2002 is the number to call if you'd like to get in on the conversation with our guest, Daniel Handler. Who were the writers that you were a fan of growing up?
Growing up? Well, the first book that I bought with my own money was by Edward Gorey. It was called The Blue Aspic. It contained a number of murders and terrible things. And I admired Edward Gorey so much when I was young, and he influenced the Snicket books a lot, that when the first two volumes were published in a series of unfortunate events, I sent the books to Edward Gorey with a note. And I said how much I admired his work and how much I hope he forgave me for all that I've stolen from him. And a few weeks later, he was dead. So I like to think that I killed him, even though I have no proof of this. But it's proof that the inspiration has sometimes kind of a spiked tail at the end that can drive itself into the soul from whom you've been taking inspiration.
Your latest work, Who Could That Be at This Hour?
You seem kind of upset about that story that I told.
Well, I was thinking...
You asked a perfectly innocent question. I understand. You just wanted me to talk about writers that I admired before, you know, and I'm talking about death and deception.
Well, I mean, it could be interpreted as unfortunate or fortunate that if, in fact, you stole his work, that he didn't have an opportunity to take some legal action against you.
I guess my dark fantasy is that he said, this is outrageous. Where is my solicitor? He was an American, so why he would say solicitor, I don't know. And then he would keel over on his way to the phone, and people would say, it looked like he was happy. But that's a terrible story, of course. But I still like thinking about it from time to time.
Your latest work, Who Could That Be at This – or actually, Who Could That Be at This Hour? And then there's also When Did You See Her Last? They take a noir turn.
Yes.
What's it like to write a darkly comic noir thriller?
Well, I find it delightful. I've long admired Raymond Chandler and some of the other noir writers, and it was fun to try and think about a noir that's enacted by children. You think of noir as being full of sex and violence, and those are two things that don't happen a lot in children's books directly. And it was fun to think about a small group of children, which is what happens in the series All the Wrong Questions, that Lemony Snicket is 13 years old, and then there are other people of similar age in this lonely town, and they are investigating this sinister and shadowy world that resembles the deranged plots of noir mysteries.
The kids get the noir thing. They, you know, you see so many, they might not know exactly, you know, what they're getting into, but they seem to gravitate toward it. And in the way that you see, for example, children's characters with all wearing trench coats, that way of storytelling, are you surprised that maybe someone didn't approach this sooner for kids?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that on one hand, the deceptive world of noir is similar to that of childhood, and that's kind of where this series, All the Wrong Questions, came from, is that I began to realize that the journey of a noir detective was like the journey of a child, that you're investigating things, that the world is far more sinister than you thought, everyone is lying to you, and yet it's alluring and you're drawn into it. And that's the journey of childhood to adulthood, I think. And I guess there have been some other attempts at doing noir for children, but I like to think I'm at least halfway original. And at least I ripped off Raymond Chandler this time, who was long dead, before he would have learned of this.
Well, people do get that overwhelming sense from your books that we should resign ourselves to the notion that life is full of cruelty and misfortune. And is there anything in particular that happened to you as a kid that you used as inspiration or that informed some of your work?
Well, I think it was just the sensibility of growing up this generation Jewish, frankly. my father fled Germany in 1939 with his family, and you'll never guess why. And the stories that were around my dinner table and when the extended family got together were the stories of nations going mad and desperate escapes. And I think that certainly colored my worldview. But even had that not been the case, what I was interested in reading from a very young age were fairy tales and other pieces of culture in which children are alone in a sinister and often violent world. So I think that's something that most children grasp instinctively. Many people will say, oh, these Lemony Snicket books are teaching children that the world is full of trouble. And I think children know that the world is full of trouble. It's not teaching them that. It's just a story about that. And it's a story that they recognize because they see the troubled world we're in. Even in Pittsburgh, where all seems charming, there could be sinister things lurking.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. My guest, Daniel Handler, author of the Lemony Snicket books. He is the guest speaker for the upcoming Pittsburgh Arts and Lectures Kids and Teen Series tonight at the Carnegie Library Lecture Hall in Oakland. The children in your books, they're wise characters. And while the adult characters, they seem to plod along at various levels of incompetence.
Yeah.
Are you simply trying to prepare kids for that day when they realize that their parents, who once seemed to have all of the answers, turn out to be clueless?
Oh, well, I think children learn that very easily. That's another thing that I don't have to teach children. Children figure that out all by themselves. I mean, I have a very charming son, but he nevertheless figured out at an extremely young age that the explanations I was giving him for the world didn't quite make any sense. I remember a very, very early conversation with him where we were listening to the Beatles in the car, and he said, are the Beatles actually Beatles? And I said, no, they were people. And he said, were they pretending to be Beatles? And I said, no. And he said, were they pretending to be Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band? And I said, yes, I think so. And slowly I realized that everything I knew about the world was slipping out of my grasp, that even such a very simple question, right, what he wanted to know is, why would a group of adult people call themselves Beatles? I know it's spelled differently, but nevertheless, why? Where did that come from, that a musical ensemble would just call itself something that it wasn't? And the Beatles, which is relatively normal. Think about, you know, Frankie Goes to Hollywood. And so I think a suspicion of adult explanation and a realization of the incompetence of the people who are running the world comes very early to children.
You're trying to explain something that seems simple at first, and all of a sudden the wheels are coming off the wagon.
Yeah. Well, I just came from visiting a middle school. I didn't have to explain to middle school students, oh, we don't know what we're talking about, by the way. They know that all the time.
They've already figured that out.
They've already been tricked into a system where they have to study something and think about something for 30 minutes really hard, and then a bell rings, and then they run down a hallway to another room where they say, don't think about what we were just telling you to think about. Think about something else now. We're not thinking about the history of World War I. That's not what we're doing. Right now we're doing math. That's crazy. If you were asked to do this as an adult, you'd have a nervous breakdown.
What are some of the most interesting reactions that you've received to your books from adults?
From adults? Oh, I mean, everything from delight to horror, I would say. I've received the full spectrum of emotions. And certainly there are some people who say, I saw these books and I was horrified and terrified of them, and I thought they were inappropriate for my child, so I didn't give them to my child. And then my child brought them home from the library and loves them and is delighted. And what have you done? And why won't you do it to me? Or why won't it stop? Things like that. Yeah, very passionate responses.
And why do you think that Snicket's dark stories resonate so well with children?
Well, I think it speaks to the injustice of the world, and it speaks to where the imagination goes and strays. When you're very young, you're being taken care of by adults. And even if the adults just disappear for 5 minutes or leave you alone one night for the babysitter so they can finally get out of the house, have a few gimlets, you as a child begin to think, oh, they're gone. What would happen if they were gone all the time? Which is why there's so many orphans in children's literature. And it's also a very easy way to tell a story. If you kill off the parents, then the children can finally do something. If the children had parents in a children's book, and then they say, oh, we'd like to solve a murder, and the parents would say, you guys stay home. That's not your job. But if the parents are dead, then they can go out and do things. It's very handy.
So
in a book.
That's the vehicle for telling the story. Get the parents out of the way, and then the adventures begin.
Exactly.
We have a couple of we have a caller on the line.
Chris, oh, yeah?
Chris
and, only one caller.
Chris and Moon.
That seems like limited interest.
Yes, but he's calling from Moon.
Oh, hello. Welcome from Moon.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hey, Paul. Well, I just wanted to say, you know, my kids are going to be there tonight. So if anything happens to them, you know who I'm going to blame.
I don't think it's fair to blame Paul. He's just working in radio. He's just doing his job.
I call this guy all the time. He's been leading me down a road, you know?
Oh, really? This is a sad story.
A dark, dark road.
I'm glad to have a glimpse into this twisted and dark tale. You heard it here first. You listen to the radio here in Pittsburgh. You listen to Essential Pittsburgh, and it's a long spiral downhill. You may seem like you're being engaged in the issues of the day, but really you're becoming a worse and worse person. And before long, you'll be blaming the radio for all the travails of your children.
Well, the fact is, this star format did have something to do with it.
Chris, did you have a question?
Yes, I was just going to say, how about some dystopic books for adults?
How about some dystopic books for adults?
These kids are growing up. We got to keep them, keep feeding them the soma.
Well, I'm pleased to say that my fourth book for adults will be out before too long, which is about two young women who team up with some residents of an old age home and steal a boat and commit acts of piracy in the San Francisco Bay. So if that sounds intriguing too, then that would be something. But frankly, I think you have enough to worry about. You're clearly suffering from certain kind of paranoid delusions. And I would concentrate on making sure that your children are not removed from you, perhaps even tonight.
But you know what? If they really are out to get you, is it paranoia?
You see, I rest my case. I'm glad this is all being recorded so it can be used as a tagline for Essential Pittsburgh. Essential Pittsburgh, if they're really out to get you, is it paranoia? With your host,
Call now.
Who's holding his face in his hands right now and perhaps weeping. I can't tell. His shoulders are shaking.
Chris, well, thank you for the call.
Well, I trust my checks in the mail.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
He seemed nice.
He's a very nice fellow.
Oh, yeah?
In fact, yes.
Is he a regular caller in?
He is, in fact.
That's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. And hopefully
it's good for you that you're making friends, I think.
you sought out a new illustrator for this latest series of books.
It's true.
And
he's from Canada. Can we say that on public radio?
I think so. We can divulge that. But I'm curious how tricky it is for you as a writer to illustrate your work. And are you ever concerned about having images get in the way of what a kid might picture in his or her mind, minus the illustration? For example, like the setting for with the Stained by the Sea.
Yes.
A town that is no longer near the sea.
Well, it's true. The new series takes place in a town called Stained by the Sea, and the sea has been drained away by the local industry, and so Stained by the Sea is no longer by the sea. But
now you illustrate that.
Well, I worked with an illustrator.
Right.
But while I was working on this book, I saw a drawing by the illustrator Seth, who's best known for a series of lonely graphic novels. And the drawing was of a small seaside town, and it looked very lonely and desolate, and it felt like exactly what I was writing about. And so I went and tracked him down at a comics convention, which was quite funny because he was surrounded by, you know, Meet the Human Torch and see a preview of The Walking Dead. And there he was in a nice suit, lonely signing copies of his work. And I sought him out and I asked him if he would illustrate it. And he actually resists the term illustrator. So it says art by Seth in the book, precisely because he doesn't see it as choosing something and drawing a picture of it, but rather coming up with drawings that kind of enhance the story. But certainly the decision about what to have pictures of and what not to have pictures of in a children's book is a huge conversation. And in a chapter book like this, where there are a million things you could have pictures of and don't, it's really, I mean, I think it's a more crucial part of the conversation than actually what the art looks like is what the art is going to depict.
Daniel Handler, a.k.a. Lemony Snicket, is the guest speaker for the upcoming Pittsburgh Arts and Lectures Kids and Teen Series. He'll be presenting tonight at 7 at the Carnegie Library Lecture Hall in Oakland. Daniel Handler's latest work is Who Could That Be at This Hour? That's actually the first in a four-part series. Part 2 is just out. Lemony Snicket, When Did You See Her Last? And this is a prequel to the series of Unfortunate Events books. Daniel Handler, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. You have a charming home.
Thank you. Coming up, Post-Gazette restaurant critic Melissa McCard on some of the city's favorite famous comfort foods.
Oh, yeah.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.